Blog Talk Radio.
All right, you.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by his wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
What joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. Oft my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me. With my friends at the old country church.
Good afternoon, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, once again as we open your word, we're asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to give us the guidance, Father, that we need, to help us with understanding of the truth of your word. Father, we ask that the Holy Spirit join with us now so that the words that are spoken this evening are not mine, but they're yours. And we ask all of this in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
All right. We're going to be talking to you this evening from chapter 11 of Acts. Give you a few minutes to get there. But you know, there's some things we need to remember. The price that Jesus paid so that we could have life. He took on beatings, ridicule, mocked, heartache, and death so that you and I could have eternal life in heaven, but also that we could have a better life here on this earth while we're here. Now, as we've been going through this book of Acts and up to this point, we have found out a lot of things so far. And we've seen a lot of God's work. And it will continue. I'm starting here now with verse 1 of chapter 11. We're going to see another man that has been rebuked. And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. Well, we know what he's talking about here is for Cornelius. It's sent for Peter. And Cornelius was a Gentile. The Gentiles and the Jews in that day and time had nothing to do with each other. For Cornelius was a Gentile that loved the Lord God. But there's a lot of things he didn't know because they had no church or no one to teach them. Evidently, he got his just from here and other people around about him. Because we know that he was over a group of soldiers of somewhere around 100. And at times even more than that. At times it could have been 1,000. Now, here in verse 2, it says, and when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him. Well, this contended don't mean they were getting along with him, as we see as we go on. Here's verse 3, saying, thou wentest in to men uncircumcised and didst eat with them. And started right here in verse 3, and throwing accusations at Peter because they knew he had been in Cornelius' house. And he had eaten with him. But and he had also kept the man that Cornelius sent to him to bring him back to Cornelius' house. He'd put them up overnight and kept them. But in verse 4, Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. A certain vessel descended as it had been a great sheet let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even to me. Well, we know from the chapter before, chapter 10, that he was on the housetop praying when he saw this vision. But you know, we have even visions in this day and time. God has gave me several myself. He gave me one and sent me to another preacher, one that wasn't preaching the truth of God's word. And his church was about to close. And this was back in 1966. In the state of Florida. And I had just went in. I had gotten off from work, went in, laid down on my bed to rest a little bit when God gave me the vision. Showed me this man's church. And showed it to me. It was being an addition put on it. Then that went away, and he brought the church back to me and showed it to me with the doors and windows being boarded up. And then he spoke to me and told me to go and tell this preacher that if he would go back to the church and pray, God would give him the answer he had been seeking. God didn't tell me what that prayer was all about. He just told me to go and tell him that if he would go, to the church and pray about it, he'd give him the answer to it. Well, I knew that as far as this preacher's life was concerned, I wouldn't be welcome at their home, because she was against me. I had preached there at one time, and evidently several of the things I preached was against her belief. And I know she didn't want nothing to do with me. But anyway, I got up off the bed, went through the house, told my wife, told her, I'm going to be gone for a little bit. I've got to go talk to a man. I got in the car and went. He had told me where he lived. I pulled up in front of the house, got out, went and knocked on the door. She cut the door and opened it. She didn't even speak to me. I just asked her where he was. She called him. He come to the door, see me. He said, well, come on in. I told him, I said, no, you come out here. And I knew she didn't want me in the house anyway. Now, he came on out. He's out in the yard. And I told him about this vision. And then I told him what God told me to tell him. That if he'd go to the church and pray about that prayer, God would give him an answer. He looked at me and he asked me, he said, well, will you go with me? I told him, I said, no. He didn't tell me to. He said, well, I'm going to follow you down. He knew for me to get home, I had to go right by his church. And he did. He got in the car, and he followed me up, followed me down, and he went to the church. What went on there, I don't know, but I do know one thing. A month later, they was building a 40-foot addition onto the side of that church. I went to one of these meetings. He was preaching the gospel just like I was. He was preaching this word of God, and he wasn't pulling no punches. And you know, I don't know how things got between him and his wife, but until the last day that I seen her, she didn't want nothing to do with me. But a year later, that church had the addition built onto it, and it was full. And a year later, God took him home to be with him. You see, when you will walk with God, and you will walk in his word, not just speaking it, but living it, you'd be surprised what God will do with you and what he'll do for you. Because, you see, we don't have to wait for him to come down here to talk to him or for him to do anything. He lives within his children. Are you one of his? Really? Because if you are, he's always right there. All right, as we go on now here, he's talking about this sheep being let down that he saw there on the road. And it was let down by four corners. Verse 6. And he says, upon the which, when I had fastened my eyes, when he looked at that sheep, he said, I considered and saw a four-footed beast of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. He's seen all these different kind of beasts on this sheet that had been let down. But you see how God deals with us. Here in verse 7, he said, "And I heard a voice saying unto me, Arise, Peter, slay and eat." He's telling Peter to raise and slay and eat. So Peter's hungry now. Verse 8. "But I said, Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath at any times entered into my mouth." He's telling the Lord, you know, I've never eaten anything common or unclean. Because you see, back in under the law, there was a lot of the animals and things that was considered to be unclean that the Jewish people were not allowed to eat. And pigs, hogs, were one of them. Today, we can really enjoy them. Because you see, God cleaned up everything. Now, but Peter told him here, no. But God speaking back to Peter here in 9. "But the voice answered me again from heaven, What God has cleansed, that call not thou common." This is why you and I are not to look at other people and pass judgment on them. Now, can we know whether they are living in sin or not? Yes. We can know by things they do. But we can't pass judgment on them. We are to love them, and we are to pray for them. And we're to love them and pray for them that they will find that they need the Lord Jesus Christ and that they will go to him and receive the forgiveness of their sins and ask him back into their life so that they too can make heaven their home. We don't have the right to call no one unclean. Now, we are to love all of mankind, pray for all of mankind. We don't love the sin they do, but we continue loving them and praying for them and doing it from the heart, not just in word, but actually from the heart, meaning what we are doing. Peter goes on here in verse 10, he says, "And this was done 3 times. That sheep was shown to him 3 times. And all were drawn up again into heaven." In other words, it had been taken away now. Verse 11. "And behold, immediately there were 3 men already come into the house where I was, sent from Caesarea unto me." You see, this is why God done it, because he knew these 3 men were going after Peter because he's the one that was sending them there, really. This centurion sent them, but God told him to. So God was really the one sending them. And he knew that ordinarily Peter would have nothing to do with them because they were Gentiles and he was a Jew. And until the church age, they had nothing to do with each other. No. Then verse 12. "And the Spirit bid me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these 6 brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house." So he's admitting now to the Jewish people that's rebuking him because he went to this man's house. He also had six more Jews with him. But now they're at this man's house. 13. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter. 14. Who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved? This was why God was having the centurion to send for Peter, so him and all of his house could be saved. Well, he also, when he sent for Peter, as we learned back in a previous chapter, he had called all of his family in and his even friends. We don't know exactly how many because it don't tell us or didn't tell us as up to this time of how many it was. But they're all going to hear what God wanted Cornelius to hear, him and his house. And he tells us here in 15, and as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Now I want you to notice something else here. You see, we have churches out here that teach some things about the Holy Ghost and all. And they teach in a way that really is not right because they put everything in order and to them it is supposed to work no other way. And there's a lot of them that tell you, you've got to be repent first. Well, that you do have to do. Then you have to be baptized. And then you seek for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But you see, though we have to have all three of those things in our life for us to be born again, but they don't always come to every individual the same way, just as we're seeing here. Now, when Peter was speaking to them, these people had been baptized. But now they were filled with the Holy Spirit. 16. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, now that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. You see, we are to be baptized in water, yes, but that's our way of putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not baptized for repentance. That's not why we're baptized. That was under the law. That was John's baptism. He baptized in water and baptized for repentance. And it would only cover your past sins. It didn't have the power to help you keep from sinning. Or it didn't take care of the future things you'd do. It wasn't quite right. But now, under the church age, all of that has changed. God fulfilled the law. And we have something that is a lot better than those that were before the law and a lot better than those that lived under the law because they didn't keep the law. Now, here we find they have been filled with the Holy Ghost without being baptized. And how do we know that? Because it's going to tell us, verse 17, for as much then as God gave them the like gifts as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? Peter said, you know, I can't stand against God. And this is what he wanted. In 18, when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then has God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Some of the Jews now are saying that God is dealing with all of mankind now, not just the Jews, the Jewish people. Verse 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. You see, they were those that still was not having anything to do with the Gentile people, because up until this time, they didn't. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Now, there's been a great number now of these Gentiles turning to the Lord. 22, then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and seeing the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. You see, now they stand in just as good with the Lord as the nation of Israel, and they are also have the same thing, and they are to follow the same kind of life, just as you and I today. We are to live according to this word. That's why God has me teaching like he has me teaching. And so you'll know that it coming from his word, not from me or my mind and what I think, what I imagine. You see, what I think or what I imagine don't mean nothing without the word. The word's got to be there. Now, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. He just keeps adding. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. You see, the church, when the church age began, the church has functioned a whole lot different than what the church is functioning today. And we need to get the church back to functioning as it was then, because if we don't, those today that are going, according to a lot of our churches, is not going to make heaven their home. They will not make it. In our churches, it's going to be found wanting. You know, when you read Revelation, you read about the seven churches. And you find where God warned each one of them that he had something against them, that they had to repent for them. Let me tell you something. We got a lot of churches out here today that needs to repent and get back into the Word of God as it is written and not keep taking a verse here and a verse there and a verse somewhere else and making it say what they want it to say instead of what it is telling us. Now, and when he found him, he brought him back into Antioch. And they assembled with the church, spent that year there with the church. And here, verse 20 said, and in those days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great drought throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. You see, God tells when mankind will walk according to the will and the way of God, God speaks to him. He speaks to us in several ways. He can speak to us in an audible voice when we're alone with him. He can speak to our hearts in that still, small voice. He can speak to you in a dream as you sleep. And he can speak to you by vision. He can do a lot of things with you. He can pick you up at one place and set you down in another place. Which, if you remember, when we first started with this book of Acts, that's exactly what he done with Peter. When he sent Peter to speak to the centurion in that cart that time that kept the treasure at all for Candace, the queen. And then they came to a place of water, and he asked Peter, what does hinder me from being baptized? Well, there was nothing to keep from it. Peter took him, baptized him, brought him back. And the Holy Spirit called Peter away and took him to another town. We serve an awesome God. He is really awesome. And he will do wonderful, wondrous things with you if you will walk in obedience unto his word and his ways. And if you don't, you're going to pay a great price for that. Now, we find here where Agabus and signified by the Spirit that there should be great drought throughout all the world. And that happened. That came to pass. And then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. You see, that's something else. When you have been born again, God's love will also be yours. It will come and abide in you too. And you will love all of mankind. And you will want to reach out to help others that are in need, whatever that need will be. Now, you and I, we can't do these good works in order to get to heaven. We do them because we are on our way to heaven. We have been born again. We don't do them to be born again. We do them because we are born again. And that's what most has forgotten. Today, a lot of places are teaching that you make heaven by doing good works. No, you don't. You do good works because you are the child of God. You have already been born again, and you belong to him. So you're doing good works because of that, because you love the Lord our God. 30. Which also they did and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Now, they sent it by Barnabas and Saul and sent it in to these that are in need. And you and I need to be working together today and reaching out to those around us. Not so that we can make heaven our home, or so we can be born again, but we do it because we are born again. We are in love with God Almighty. And that's the reason we do it, is because we love mankind and we don't want to see them hurting. And we want to help them obtain that knowledge they need so they too can be born again and walk with the living God. You see, we don't wait today until we get to heaven to be with the Lord God or with Jesus or with the Holy Spirit. Because they are already in us. They already abide in us. You know, Jesus told us this. He said, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. You are in me, and we are in you. And then they sent the Holy Spirit back to you and I to live within us. It's all in God's Word. You just have to do a little hunting sometimes. But that's why we need the church. That's why we need to come together. We call these places churches. But you know, really, Jesus didn't call them a church. What did Jesus call it? He called it a house of prayer. He went into the synagogue and all, turned the tables over on the money changers, took a whip, run them all out. And he told them, he said, this is supposed to be a house of prayer, and you have made it a den of thieves. But a lot of things that we're not doing today that we really should be doing and that we will find is really going to cost us. You know, a lot of people are saying, you know, you can't go to that church over there because all they want is your money. Well, I don't know how, just how hard a lot of churches preach about money. I do know there's a lot of them out there that, yes, that's what they want. But there is a teaching about money that we all should pay attention to, because if you don't, sooner or later, it's going to get you into trouble. And that's tithing. When we don't tithe, eventually you will pay a price for that, and it will be a dear price. A lot of people don't believe in tithing. Oh, I just can't do it. I just don't have it. I have news for you. The reason you don't have it is because you hadn't been doing it. The Lord tells us that when we don't tithe, in the eyes of God, we are a robber and a thief. We know robbers and thieves ain't going to make heaven their home. But you're going to lose a lot of things here on this earth. Because you see, God will always keep his word. And he says that when we tithe, he will pour out a blessing to us. It's not because he needs our money, but it's because our church needs the money, so it can operate as it should operate in the community where it's at to help the community out. Because without it, it won't be long until that church can no longer exist. We're seeing one right now facing that problem. That's what's causing this one church that we know of right now to consider closing, because they are running out of money and they cannot pay their bills. So in order to pay everything up to where the church don't have to shut down owing people anything, they're going to have to close. God means what he says in his word. He don't say it without meaning it. He doesn't lie. And he'll do exactly, exactly what he tells us he'll do. He don't walk around nothing. Not a thing. With that, we're going to get ready and close out for this evening, but I wanted to bring this all out because it's all in God's word. And as we get further and further into the New Testament, the stronger things are going to get. So just spend time in God's word. Spend time with him in prayer. And he'll spend time with you.
Yeah. I might say something. I just want to say that power of prayer is actually very, very real. I'm not going to get into the nitty-gritty of it, but totally literally. On the first of the month, I will literally lose everything out. And I've done everything that I could possibly do. You know, everything humanly possible I can do. I'm not one to ever ask for anything from God. Never have been.
No.
I'm always that person that thanks him for the things that he's given me and think that whatever it is, it's going to be for the right. However, because it was just such a drastic situation, I prayed. I asked for a specific amount of money to take care of the problem that was going to take place. Not only did I get that specific amount of money, I got on top of that extra, and it came out of nowhere, literally out of nowhere.
That's like right now. We'll talk after we go down. So let us go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we close your word, we thank you for your word, Father. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for a time and place we can come together to share your love, to share your word, and to learn. Because, Father, we can never learn it all. But we know that we can grow each and every time we come together. We can learn something new. We can walk stronger. We can walk closer. We can have that fellowship that we need, that love that we need, Father, from you and the Lord Jesus Christ. And that we can walk with the Holy Spirit in us to reach out to others, to do the work, Father, that you would call on us to do. Because, Father, it's not us. We know that it is the Holy Spirit that works through us. When we pray for the sick, Father, we don't make them well. But the Spirit working through us does. We know this, Father. But there are a lot of them out there, Father, that don't know. Help us to continue to spread your word, Father, far and wide. Help us to do the things that Jesus was doing while he was here on this earth. And we're told that we can. In fact, we're told that all, not just pastors, not just deacons, but all that believe in Jesus can do the things he was doing. He himself told us this. Father, we need to be seeing more of it. And we're asking you to use us in a greater and mightier way, giving us a better place to work from, Father, till we can do more. Because that's what we're seeking, Father, to do more. Now, Father, I ask you for your healing touch and your great love upon Kenny Powers, Dennis Lee, Terry Coates, James Taylor, Bobby and Millie Johnson, Sue and Dennis Brandon, and Father, for Cliff. Heal Cliff, Father, of this infection, of this spine that has been caused by these spurs. And Father, remove these spurs. We know that, Father, you can cause them to just disappear. Pass through the body, Father. And you know my needs. You know exactly what is needed. Father, I've laid claim to it. And I know that according to your time, it will all be done. Now, Father, keep us whole. Not only through this night, but through the night and days and nights to come until Sunday morning when we can all come together again, Father, to worship and to praise the Lord our God. Father, your saints, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. Jerusalem and Israel, we pray for peace for them. Because, Father, they're having less of peace all the time. But we also, Father, pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, so that Israel one day will be known as a land for Jesus. In this land of ours, Father, our government that has brought so much evil upon its own people and that has been moving the foundation that our government was set up on. Father, I pray that you work with us and bring us together so that we, Father, can remove from office those that are working against you and against the Lord and against the church, and to replace them with ones who will work with us and help us to restore our government, put it back upon the foundation in which it was founded, that being upon your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, be with us and watch over us. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Oh. No, you don't. Yeah. You just do.